leave his glasses where he cannot use them. Well, tonight is a more of an instructional drawing for us believers. Although, if you happen to be unsaved, this should be a real eye-opener for you as well. Our modern society, by and large, scoffs at the concept that God created this whole world and everything in it out of nothing by speaking it into existence. That just does not fly with modern man. And you know that. They have to have an explanation. They have to have surmisings that basically deny the miraculous. But if God is as he says he is in the Bible, then miracles are not a problem. Amen. Everything Christian that we hold dear is miraculous. The existence of an eternal God that had no beginning and he'll never have an end, who is all powerful, everywhere present, all knowing, and he's a spirit, that he has an eternal son who's been with him co-equal for eternity, and yet whom God had and sent to earth to take on himself carnality, the incarnation, that God, who is eternal and spiritual, became a man in time. All of this is miraculous. So we should not stumble if God describes the creation, the origin of all we know, as being miraculous. We read the story of the Exodus and God having the children of Israel to pass through the Red Sea. That's miraculous. Leading them with a cloud by day and a pillar of fire by night. That's miraculous. Manna from heaven in the morning. Miraculous. Quails coming up to the camp at night to feed the hundreds of thousands or millions of Israelites. Miraculous. The crossing of Jordan into Canaan, where the waters piled up and they went through again on dry ground. Miraculous. Jericho being surrounded by the Israelites and it falling at the sound of a trumpet and a shout, the walls falling in. Miraculous. Should I go on? Everything we hold dear is miraculous. The payment of Christ on the cross for our sins, miraculous. His resurrection, miraculous. The coming of the Spirit at Pentecost, miraculous. All of Jesus' miracles of healing, miraculous. The promise of his return in the clouds with his saints following him, destroying his enemies on earth with the sword that goes out of his mouth. Miraculous. You get the point. We are believers in the miraculous. And so we should not kowtow to the world. We should never even consider adopting something like theistic evolution. That God was involved in creation, but he kind of got the ball rolling and then turned it over to the evolutionary process. Why would we even consider that when everything we hold to is based on the miraculous? In John 1, the Gospel of John. John wrote this about our Lord. In the beginning was the Word. That's a title for Jesus. And the Word was with God. And the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him. And without Him was not anything made that was made. And so here, the inspired scriptures attribute all of creation, the origin of all things, to Jesus Christ. So if I hold to any form of evolution where matter has existed and mutations have been occurring for millions of years prior to the entrance of man, I am negating the truth of John chapter 1 right there. He either is the creator of all things or he's not. And so we need to focus our minds when we hear of these evolutionary concepts and the millions of years scientists tell us things have been bubbling and gurgling and spitting and popping and mutating and developing, and monkeys going into trees out of a primeval swamp and then losing their tails and falling out of the trees and going through different stages of the Cro-Magnon man and all this nonsense. We should consider that as nonsense and stick with the simple, clear truth of the Bible. Otherwise, we'll just have to scrap the gospel of Jesus Christ. And that's what I want to focus on tonight, that the gospel, the good news that Jesus died on the cross, was buried, rose again the third day to save us from our sins, that whole good news, the whole gospel is founded on and has its foundational roots in the very creation of God. Back in Genesis, the gospel is preached, though it's in seed form. Another verse to consider before I try to draw you a picture is Romans 5:12. And that's where we get the Bible's truth about how death got started. Because death in the theory of evolution is a big factor. And evolutionists, as you will hear on the CD, have the concept that death has been occurring for millions of years, way before the entrance of man. But what does the Bible teach? Romans 5:12 says, "Wherefore, as by one man, sin entered into the world, and death by sin. And so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned." Death came into this world with the sin of Adam. And to hold to any form of evolutionary thought where death has to have been going on with the selection process for millions and hundreds of thousands of years before man is unacceptable. Because death for sin is one of the foundational concepts why the gospel was needed. So these are things to work through in your heart and mind. And what we're going to do tonight, I'm going to endeavor to draw you a little simple picture of a Rocky Mountain scene. I think you found out this morning. I love the Rocky Mountains, and so I've changed this picture from what I drew at camp. At camp, I was laboring to draw a Garden of Eden jungle picture, and I never really got it worked out for the time frame. It was too much. And so I've gone to this scene. It's a lot simpler. And then, of course, there'll be a picture at the end you'll see as we turn on the black light that hopefully will draw it together with the truth that we're trying to present, that creation God's way and the gospel go hand in hand. And that any other concept of creation other than what the Bible says, it hamstrings or undercuts the gospel of Jesus Christ. So I hope we'll make that tie-in tonight. All right, my brother, are you ready in the rear? Says he is. All right, here we go. We'll try to draw you a picture. Now, none of you wrap yourself up in that, okay? Anytime, my brother. Anytime tonight would be good. Mark. God's good news of the death of Christ for our sins, his burial, and resurrection from the dead to save us from hell, from damnation, and the consequences of our sin. But have you ever thought about the foundations of the gospel as found in the very front of the Bible? In other words, where does the Bible state that God exists as God? Why are we responsible to God? How is it that God offers us the gospel? Who is He? How are we accountable to Him? Well, the book of Genesis clearly portrays God as being self-existent as creator of all things that we know and of our very selves. He is the judge of the whole earth. And we that are humans are accountable to Him because He is our creator. Our sin came from our forefather Adam, and death came as a penalty for that sin. All of these foundations have their origins and reality revealed in the book of Genesis. One creation writer put it this way: the meaning of anything is tied up with its origin. In other words, take for example the earth. What is the meaning of the earth? Why is it here? How did it get here? What's its future? All of that finds its origin in the first few chapters of Genesis in the Bible. The meaning of life. Why is there life? Where did life come from? What is life supposed to be about? All of this as well finds its origin in the book of Genesis. The death that the gospel says Jesus died to save us from. Where did death come from? How long has death been around? Why did death come in? What's the solution, if there is any, for death? All of these foundational truths find their origin in the book of Genesis. Genesis is indeed the book of origins. In other words, it's the account, the inspired account of God of where things began, where everything originated in our world. Did you know Genesis is the most quoted book in the whole Bible? Do you know that our Savior, Jesus Christ Himself, believed Genesis to be true, to be reliable, and a must to be believed? Listen to what Jesus said to some religious people in John 5. He said, "Do not think that I will accuse you to the Father. There is one that accuseth you, even Moses, in whom ye trust. For had ye believed Moses, ye would have believed me, for he wrote of me. But if ye believe not his writings, how shall ye believe my words?" Oh, what a revelation from Jesus Himself that if we won't accept the words of Moses, then why should we accept His words? You see, our Lord put Moses on the same plane as His inspired words. Genesis first reveals the promise to Eve and Adam of a coming Redeemer. In Genesis 3:15, the promise is made that the seed of the woman would crush the head of the devil and give victory to men. My friend, if the gospel of Jesus Christ is true and worthy of acceptance and the only means whereby a man can be saved, then the origins of life, death, sin, judgment, and salvation are exactly as the Bible describes them in the book of Genesis.
Come we that love the Lord.
of Romans in the Bible is all about the gospel. In fact, many commentators say that the theme of the book of Romans is salvation. And of course, that salvation comes through the gospel of Jesus Christ. Paul said in Romans he was not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God to salvation. And in chapter 1 of Romans, we read some very interesting verses that take us back to the foundations of the gospel at creation. Listen to these verses. In verse 18 of chapter 1, it says, "The wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness." What that means is that God has revealed His wrath and executes His wrath upon those who hold down the truth of His Word. And that would be a fitting description of evolutionists who try to deny the very credibility of God's account of how things started. In verse 19, Paul went on to say, "Because that which may be known of God is manifest in them, for God hath showed it unto them. For the invisible things of Him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even His eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse." In other words, the reality of God and the reality of His virtues and His power and His glory are clearly seen by the things God has made. My friends, if God is not the sole creator of the universe and the world we live in, then this verse in Romans 1:20 becomes obsolete. But it's not. In verse 21, it says that because men, when they knew God, glorified Him not as God, neither were thankful, but they became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. What a description of Adam and Eve's response to having known God as their creator. But they became vain in their thoughts and thought that taking the forbidden fruit would somehow add to their experience, when the whole time it brought darkness and death into the whole world. This is clearly described in Romans chapter 1, verse 21. Verse 22, Paul went on to say, "Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools." And so here in the early chapters of Romans, we have a clear description of how God, through His creation, has revealed Himself to men, and how that God made Himself known to Adam and Eve. And yet, after having created all these things and revealing Himself to be their God and Creator, men turned their back on God and believed a lie, and believed the father of lies. In verse 25, Paul said this, that those men changed the truth of God into a lie and worshiped and served the creature more than the Creator, who's blessed forever. Again, a fitting description of what Adam and Eve did in elevating the words of the serpent that day above the words of God. And this, my friend, is the foundation of the gospel truth, that men are sinners because they've turned their back on their Creator God and have believed a lie of Satan, and thereby have become sinners and need to be saved. And if these things are not so, then the gospel becomes of no value. You could sum it up this way: if evolution is true, then there is no gospel of Jesus Christ.
Thank you.
About death. Where did death begin? Why did death begin? What are the results of death? When did it appear in human history? This is a great point that separates evolution from creationism. Evolution teaches one concept of death, and the Bible paints a whole different picture. Evolution says that death, decay, and the survival of the fittest over millions of years led to all the complex life we see today. But the Bible says God created everything in six literal days, and that death came in only after man's fall in the Garden of Eden. Evolution teaches that the origin of all things was a marathon struggle of very basic forms of life, that after millions of years of death, decay, mutation, natural selection have evolved into what we see around us today. But the Bible says and teaches that God created all things perfectly, in full maturity and perfection by merely speaking them into existence. And this God is the God that gives us the gospel of Jesus Christ. Evolution says death has been a positive factor in the evolution of all things into advanced life forms. But the Bible paints death as the enemy of man. The Bible paints death as the last enemy that Jesus Christ will destroy upon his return in 1 Corinthians 15:26. The Bible paints death as a penalty, as a darkness, a punishing thing, the wage of being a sinner and a lawbreaker. Evolution teaches that death has been around for millions of years prior to man's existence. But the Bible clearly teaches in Romans 5:12 that death came into the world when Adam sinned in the Garden of Eden, and not before that. Evolution teaches that life is continually evolving and getting better and more advanced. The Bible teaches that life continues to decline because of the consequences of sin in this world. One creationist writer, John D. Lang, made this statement: evolution requires that death serve a creative function, and the Bible precludes such an understanding of death. Therefore, the evangelical must reject evolution as the means by which God creates. Believers must realize that the gospel of Jesus Christ necessitates that the origin of all things be just like God depicted them to be in His Word, the Bible.
Oh,
So, what is the gospel view of the origin of all things? Well, very simply, it's the Bible view. It's the view of creationism as depicted in the book of Genesis. Bible truths that the gospel rests on are as follows. God exists independently of mankind, and He is our creator, our owner, our rightful ruler, and the one to whom all of us men are accountable. Man, created by God, is a willful sinner, having fallen with Adam in the Garden of Eden. Man's nature is corrupt, depraved, and men need to be saved from their sin. Death came into this world at the fall of one man, Adam. Death therefore passed upon all men, as they have inherited Adam's corrupt nature and death sentence. Jesus Christ, the seed that God promised Eve in Genesis 3:15, died on the cross and rose from the grave by God's design to save all of us men from sin if we would believe. Jesus Himself believed in the writings of Moses, including the book of Genesis. To discredit Genesis, or the creationist view of the origin of things, is to discredit Jesus Christ, God's Son Himself. If the gospel of Jesus Christ is true, then evolution's false. And if the gospel of Jesus Christ is false, then that leaves room for evolution. But I assure you, my friend, that the gospel of Jesus Christ is the power of God to save you and save me. The origin of all things is accurately recorded for us in the book of Genesis in the Bible. Believe it all and be saved, or refuse to believe it all and be damned. 2 Peter 3:9, the Lord is not slack concerning His promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Well, erase the gospel out of the Bible, because there's no need for it, for death did not come by sin, but it did come by sin. Adam took of the forbidden fruit and he died. Satan entered the serpent, deceived Eve. Eve took of the fruit, gave it to her husband, withered, and he did eat. And the eyes of them both were open. They knew they were naked. And the moment they ate of the forbidden fruit, according to the book of Genesis, they died. And that's where death came from. Death has not been around for millions of years and was a positive aspect in the creation of all things. Death stormed in when Adam rebelled against God, when Eve was deceived by Satan's pleas that she could be wise, took of the forbidden fruit, and thereby passed a death sentence on her, or on Adam took, and the death sentence was pronounced by Adam's sin. And man became a sinner and in need of a Savior, whom God many years later sent to save men from their sin. All of this is tied to the creation of the world. And so we better be careful, believer, how we view creation. And we need to stand up for the biblical account of creation.
God created all things out of nothing, perfect. Sin came in when Adam rebelled against God. Death came with sin. And then God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that if we believe, whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. So every time you go to the Rocky Mountains, or you go to the seashore, or you go to the Appalachian Mountains, and you behold the beauty of creation, you understand something. It did not come because millions of years of a natural process of selection took place, and creatures came and went, and mutations occurred, and all things just kind of morphed into what you see today. Nonsense. God created it just like he said. Amen. Let's bow for prayer. Are you saved tonight? Do you know the Lord? More than likely in a Sunday night crowd, we're all Christians here. We all believe in the Lord, but perhaps there's one here that's not. Perhaps there's one here that has swallowed the lie of the devil and the world, thinking that we're not accountable to a creator. You see, if evolution's true, then the authority of God is bogus. But evolution's not true, and we have a creator God. And we are accountable to him for our sin. And so he sent his Son to die in our place. We cannot escape creationism as God has it recorded if we're to be believers in the gospel. Because if we descended from apes over many, many years of mutations, then we weren't created, as God said, in his image. But friend, we were. And we are in his image, though the image was tarnished in the garden. And we're in need of a Savior because he is Creator God. So perhaps you've not believed in Jesus as your Savior. I want to make the same invitation I made this morning. If you know you need to believe in Christ and you have not yet done that, and you see the error of your way tonight, and the Holy Spirit of God is convicting you in your heart that you need a Savior, I would love to talk with you after church. I'll be available, be hanging around in the lobby. I'd love to sit down in a room with you, answer questions, open the Bible, and show you how to pray and ask Jesus to be your Savior. Christian, do not back off creationism as taught in the Word of God. Look this way, if you would. If you'd like to see me after church, I'll be here. And let me say this. I like to put in a plug when I do this for the ministry of Answers in Genesis. Now, I don't agree with every single position they take as far as their associations, okay? And you understand that. But I want to tell you, they have wonderful material right down this very line. Of course, the Ark is down here in northern Kentucky, the Creation Museum's there. And they have online literature galore that defends and backs up creationism as God recorded it. It's very helpful material. So, with no further ado, Pastor, you come closer down like you want to.